And welcome to the Sunday Sidelines on this fine Sunday morning. I am Brad Allen here with you up until noon, where we'll hand things over to Kevin Allen for our Sunday afternoon in the 80s. Remember, NASCAR racing coming up today as well. That's coming up at 2 o'clock. We have good stuff coming up today. We'll talk a little bit about spring sports and where we stand with those as we do this here on April 18th. Plus, we will also talk a little bit about some Detroit sports as a whole. Not really focusing on any one specific team. We're going to talk as a whole and hopefully get your opinions on that as well, because we're going to talk about which of the four major sports teams in Detroit, that being the Detroit Tigers, the Detroit Lions, Detroit Red Wings, Detroit Pistons, has the best chance of winning a championship in the next 5 years. We'll talk about that coming up, and we'll also start today on winter sports. I understand winter sports have wrapped up, but award season is upon us, and up here in Northeast Michigan, where we are technically considered the Bay City area, we have done very, very well in that regard. So let's start with one of the big conferences up here. That is the North Star Conference. We've talked about a lot of this earlier this week, but some all-conference honors. We'll do some first-team conference honors, and let's start in wrestling. We're at Mayo. Trenton Smith, Tyler Demery, and Brandon Wiltsey were the first-team honorees in wrestling over in Mayo. Zach Ouellette, Anthony Ward in Oscoda, and Hayden Henkowski, Anthony Paul, and Clayton Henry of Rogers City. Congratulations to each and every one of those wrestlers who were able to pick up that fantastic award of first team in the North Star Conference. Also in girls basketball, first team in the North Star Conference. Let's start in that Big Dipper division. These are some of the bigger schools in the North Star Conference, like Lily Bilby and Kelsey Hansen over at Alcona. Congratulations to them. Macy Kelstrom and Mia Wipke and Izzy Halverson over in Oscoda, and Carissa Rabo of Rogers City. All three of those earning first-team honors in the Big Dipper division in the North Star League. And in the Little Dipper division, how about Caitlin Bowers of Fairview, Abby Parkinson of Hale, Nicole Barbo and Sage Flaffer of Hillman, and Ella Satskowski and Michaela Kamshak of Posen. And for boys basketball, first team in the North Star include DJ Howe of Alcona, Owen Franklin, Drew Hess, and Gavin Lewick of Oscoda, and Nick Frill and Matt Newhouse of Rogers City. And in the Little Dipper, Aaron Cuzzard of Atlanta, Keaton Ludwig and David Wanty of Hale, Trenton Territute of Hillman, and A.J. Brunette of Posen. I have talked at length throughout most of this basketball season about the high quality of basketball talent that we have in Northeast Michigan. And it goes even beyond the North Star League, which encompasses most schools around here. Pretty much doesn't include Ogama Heights, Tawas, Standish. But outside of that, you're looking at a lot of schools in the area that are in the North Star. And just in there, that's a lot of basketball talent. And I understand that, especially when a lot of Northeast Michigan teams go farther than we've seen them before, when a lot of Northeast Michigan players get recognition, we don't really realize where they stand in the grand scheme of the state. Oscoda boys basketball held the number two ranking in the state for a decent amount of the season this year. So when you get the chance to compare these to the rest of the state, or in what I'm about to talk about in the case of a region, you really get an idea of how much talent that there is in Northeast Michigan. Let's start in girls basketball, where the Bay City Area Dream Team, for their what they call Bay City Area, covers 26 schools in the Northeast Michigan area. 26 schools from Bay County, so you're going to get all those Bay City schools, Bay City John Glenn, Bay City Central, Bay City West, all of those are going to be there. But then you also get all of the Northeast Michigan schools. All of us up here are included in the Bay City region of MLive. And they announced their dream team, and earning first team honors included Standish's sophomore, Macy Fegan. Now, Macy's really, really good. Averaged 23 points, 10 rebounds as a sophomore, and led Standish to a district title. And not only that, Macy Fegan is a Division I basketball recruit. That's high-quality talent down there in Standish. Now, I understand Standish might be the biggest school in Northeast Michigan, maybe outside of Alpena. But that's, you know, not extremely in our coverage area up here. We don't get to Alpena very often. But Standish, we definitely do. And so when you have someone like Macy Fegan, who is around Northeast Michigan, you finally get to realize Division I recruit, Bay City Dream Team first team as a sophomore, of all things, leading your team to a title in the districts as a sophomore. All of that I find just beyond impressive. And there was a whole lot more. It wasn't just Macy who was on this dream team. Second team honors included Macy's teammates with L. Adrian and Brianna Bartlett, as they also helped Standish make their way to that district title this year. And also on the second team, Macy Kellstrom of Oscoda. The Oscoda girls basketball team we've talked about at length, being very much in this area, 17-1 on the year, only lost to Bay City John Glenn. And then, unfortunately, COVID stopping their season. Honorable mentions, couple more in the Bay City area dream team. So out of 26 schools, there's a lot of great girls basketball players who were acknowledged here, including Izzy Halverson at Oscoda, Abby Parkinson at Hale. All those fantastic basketball players in this area. And the coach of the year in the Bay City area was Oscoda's Mark Tompe. And I got the chance to talk to Mark a little bit earlier on this week. And he brought some great insight into his program and his ability as a coach. I mean, when Mark took over at Oscoda, they were coming off of pretty much, I think it was 20 straight losing seasons when Mark took over. And he's had them now to being one of the most dominant teams in Northeast Michigan. This year, they changed everything that they did. If you pay attention to girls basketball, last year, they had their Oscoda's all-time leading scorer, Lauren Langley, there. She played in the post. The offense revolved around her. They got her the basketball whenever they could. This year, they knocked down threes at a near-historic clip. Didn't really get the ball inside much, but they put themselves onto the list of most threes made in a game a couple of times this year, because that's the offense they had with Kellstrom and with Mia Wipke and Izzy Halverson knocking down jumpers from afar. It's too bad that they did not get to keep their season going into the postseason, where they would have been heavy favorites to win their district, and I think that they could have put up a fight against St. Ignace in that first round of the regional. So congratulations to Macy Fegan on your first team Bay City Dream Team, and congratulations to Mark Tompe on your number one coach in the Bay City area. Same thing goes with guys basketball. Boys basketball announced their regional players of the year. And for our area, again, the 26 school Bay City, out of every school in the 26 area, our 26 school Bay City area, the staff at MLive and the Bay City Times chose Oscoda's Drew Hess as their regional player of the year. Now, Hess, he was at Mile his first 3 years of high school, and then his family moved to Oscoda, and so he finished his high school career at Oscoda this past year. And I remember talking with Owen Franklin after Oscoda's regional semifinal win over Charlevoix, where we asked him, or I think Andy asked him, about playing with this team and playing with Drew Hess and Brennan Mills, who were at Mile last year, and again, their families moved here. And he said, you know, it's nice to when you're going against this guy, and he said one of the best basketball players in the area, then he stopped and corrected himself and said the best basketball player in the area. And now Drew's getting that recognition. Drew averaged 18 points this year, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He was clearly the guy who had the ball in his hand most of the time for Oscoda's 20-1 record this year, with their only loss coming to a state runner-up Iron Mountain. And there's a whole lot more to it, as not only just this year accolades, but you look at the career of Drew Hess. Drew scored 1,853 points in his career. scoring nearly 2,000, scoring 1,000 is a landmark number. Being a 1,000-point scorer is a landmark number. Owen Franklin is the all-time leading scorer at Ascota that he set this year, and he's got right around 1,200. 600 more points for Drew Hess. That ranks 7th all-time in the Bay City area. 7th all-time in the Bay City area. And then you can expand Drew's ability out to the whole state. He's 4th all-time in career free throw percentage in the entire MHSAA, knocking down 85.6% of his free throws. And he's a top 15 three-point shooter of all time by volume, as Drew had made 235 career threes. That is 13th all-time in the MHSAA. I say a lot around here, and it's not just because I grew up around here, and it's not just because I love this area, that there's a lot of talent in this area when it comes to sports. And I'm glad that when these types of things come out, we're able to prove it. We're able to show how good our teams are. Now, I understand for a lot of these last, 18 months or so, we haven't really been able to watch a lot of this talent because a lot of people have not been able to go to games. A lot of people have not been able to check it. But I hope that if you weren't able to go to games, you listen to our coverage, because I know we covered Ascota extensively this year. We cover Standish extensively nearly every year. It seems that in Division III, we're covering whoever comes out of Division III, whether that be, when Alcona is really good, which, they always find a way. Right now it's Ascota. And in Division II, Ogama Heights and Standish are always battling it out. I'm hoping you got the chance to listen to our coverage of those four schools, because I know we're based in Taos, and of course we cover Taos extensively. But we've really had the chance recently to cover those four with how good they've been between football and basketball. So I understand a lot of you hadn't had a chance. I hope that you do end up hanging out with us to make sure that you check with us on a lot of our stuff, because we have all sorts of great talent in the area, and I'm glad that we're able to show it. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about spring sports. There's not much going on, but we'll update you on a couple of schools that have been playing a little bit of spring sports, and we'll update you on kind of what's happening with some of the other schools that haven't as well. And remember, our kind of question today that I'll talk about just after about 11:30 today is, which of the four major Detroit sports teams is going to win a championship first, or which team will be the best setup in the next 5 years? Love to hear you on that. 362-3417. Shoot me a text. You can give me a call when that time comes. But 362-3417, you can tweet at the Sunday Sidelines. You can tweet at WKJC. You can tweet at Brad Allen WKJC. There's all sorts of spots that you can find me. You can find me on Facebook as well. Or again, you can just text me right here at the radio station. It's right here on my left side computer screen. You can text 362-3417. I'll be sure to get to it. You're listening to the Sunday Sideline Show, brought to you as we are every week by Northeastern Window and Door in Harrisville and Alpena, Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas, and Kevin Hummer Accounts at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac on US 23 in East Dallas.
We're Northeastern Window and Door.
Road construction has started on US 23 in front of our Harrisville store. Our store will remain fully accessible during the duration of the project. US 23 will be closed to through traffic only. Local traffic will be maintained and includes customers accessing our store. Please watch for signs posted by MDOT. Our Harrisville store hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and Sunday, 9 to 1. Northeastern Window and Door is your local source for all your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Contractors and homeowners welcome.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac in Easttown wants you to get the best deal on a vehicle. And right now, stop in and ask Kevin how to get 15% off MSRP on a new 2021 Chevrolet Equinox or 17% off the new 2021 Chevy Trax. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Plus, see the entire inventory at DeanArborChevy.com. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac on US 23 in Easttown or call 492-1788. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Take the wheel and let's go for a spin. Every Friday and Saturday in April at Saginaw Eagles Landing, our prize wheel is loaded with big-time winning, like premium play, complimentary meals and hotel stays, and bonus entries into the grand prize drawing on April 30th for a new Ford Mustang. So get ready and let's go for a spin. Only at Saginaw Eagles Landing Casino and Hotel. Let your fun out. Visit Saginaw-EaglesLanding.com for complete rules and details.
Brad Allen here with you for the Sunday Sidelines, 11:19 on the Sunrise Side. Don't miss the 2 o'clock as we bring you the Toyota Owners 400 from Richmond Raceway right here on 104.7 WKJC and online anytime at WKJC.com. NASCAR Racing on your power station for sports. So now let's dive into a little bit of spring sports. There really isn't much going on in the world of spring sports. There's really only a couple area schools that are even really playing. We haven't had much. Oscoda, Tawas, Hale, amongst others, have decided that they would not be playing for the next couple of weeks, which is what the governor asked to have happen, is to have some schools decide not to play, which I have no problems with that for those who decided that they want, that's what they wanted to do. I have no issues with making a decision. One, you're trying to play outdoor sports, and we haven't exactly had the best weather for that recently, so I understand the decision to kind of hold off on a lot of these things. And a couple of schools that have played, let's take you through a little bit of what they've done. Like at Standard Sterling, they have played one baseball game so far. They topped Saginaw Swan Valley by a score of 8-1. And then on the softball side of things, they've definitely played a little bit more, as the Standard Sterling softball team is at 2-4. They've picked up victories over Unionville Sebewing, which they split a doubleheader with, and Ithaca, which they split a doubleheader with. And in the world of soccer, Ogama Heights is 2-1 on the year. They've topped Roscommon by a score of 8-0 and Sheboygan by a score of 2-0. And Standish Sterling is 2-0 in soccer. They have beaten Millington 4-2 and Ithaca 9-3. So that's where we stand right now in the world of spring sports, as we really just try to get going. As we move, you know, try to move through this stretch of coronavirus that has not been kind to those in Michigan. It has not been very good. There's no way around that. It has just been, the numbers have gone up. My own personal belief is that people should get vaccinated, whether you agree with that or not. That's really not here nor there. I am happy that I got mine this past Wednesday, got my first one at least. And so, yeah, I urge people to get vaccinated as we move through, because I think anything that can help get back to any sense of normalcy would be nice, because as we move this back to sports, spring sports for me was always my favorite. When I played basketball and I played baseball. I was a fine basketball player. I was okay. I came off the bench every now and then. I'd get a spot start depending on the way things worked. But baseball was the sport that I would put hours into in the summer. Just going out, I lived in Oscoda, going out onto the old Air Force Base, using the Little League fields, just setting up a tee and hitting. I would do that quite often, whether it be after practice or just on a weekend. When I wasn't out playing 9 holes or 18 holes, that's what I would go do. And then, so spring was always important to me because baseball was the sport that I loved the most. And now I really hope that they get the chance to play it again, because, again, I know how important it was. A lot of players will play both basketball and football. But it's amazing, on the baseball teams that I had in high school, a lot of players, that was their only sport that they played. Baseball just seemed to be a little bit different, where they didn't play a whole lot of other sports, but they played baseball. I feel like a lot of football players also play basketball, where they wrestle. If you go from fall to the winter. And a lot of those who would maybe play baseball, they're runners. They would run track. They would also run cross country in the fall. So baseball, I feel like, is a very different sport. And this goes for softball, too. Baseball and softball, I feel like, a very different sport, because they get that opportunity to play a sport that really a decent amount of baseball and softball players, it's kind of the only sport they play. Not to mention girls soccer at this time, too. We have girls soccer that's getting that opportunity in the spring. Boys soccer in the fall, girls soccer in the spring. I like the way they split that up. And a part of it is because, you know, a lot of facilities can't really hold two seasons at once. When it comes to soccer, you only have one field at many places, and scheduling can be difficult. So I like that they have that split up. Now girls get the chance to play soccer in the spring, which I'll talk a little bit later on about how a lot of these sports can end up being forgotten. So we haven't really had the big news cycle when it comes to spring sports and whether they're beginning or whether they're not. We haven't really, you know, we haven't covered it as much because we don't, really, you know, we don't go and broadcast spring sports. We don't, we just kind of report scores, and we'll have Ben Murphy on, who covers Northeast Michigan sports, in the coming weeks, and he'll talk to us about what's going on in the world of baseball, softball, soccer, track and field. We'll talk about it all. But we haven't really gotten that big news cycle of, like, well, spring sports in some parts of Northeast Michigan, at least for us, has started, and for some it hasn't. And everything's outside, and I talked last week about everything's outside, so everything's a little bit easier, I think, to set up. Everything's a little bit easier to make sure that we can do this safely. It's outside, a lot less contact in spring sports than there are in fall and winter sports. So I think that this could work out pretty well for some of the sports that are going on. I know Whittemore Prescott, I believe, is playing. They played some baseball over the past couple of weeks, which is always good. And when you're battling this weather, any games that you can get in at this time is always good, because you never know about Michigan in April and May, whether it's going to snow, whether it's going to rain, whether it's going to be 80 degrees, whether it's going to be 40. So I'm going to talk about this more at length, but please get your opportunity. If you get the chance to go and watch a spring sport, please do, because it doesn't get enough coverage. As we would all hope, I think, in Northeast Michigan. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about Detroit sports, and we're going to talk about which team, because all four Detroit sports teams are in a rebuilding mode. Which team has the best chance to win a championship or to be at least successful in the next 5 years? And we'll take your calls on that, too. 362-3417. If you want to get in on the action and give me your opinion, which team in the next 5 years is the best chance to succeed in Detroit? Give me a call, 362-3417. I'll get your opinions on it. Tell me which team. Tell me why. I'll give you my opinions on each one as well. As you're listening to the Sunday Sideline Show on 104.7 WKJC and online at WKJC.com, your power station for sports.
We're Northeast Drive. We know and
road construction has started on US 23 in front of our Harrisville store. Our store will remain fully accessible during the duration of the project. US 23 will be closed to through traffic only. Local traffic will be maintained and includes customers accessing our store. Please watch for signs posted by MDOT. Our Harrisville store hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and Sunday, 9 to 1. Northeastern Window and Door is your local source for all your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Contractors and homeowners welcome.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern, conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Celebrate your mom this Mother's Day by registering her in the WKJC Marvelous Mom Drawing. Just take a picture of you and your mom having a great time or doing whatever you like and upload it to WKJC.com. You can pamper your mom with an awesome Mother's Day package that includes prizes from Windjammer Gifts in East Dallas, Precious Petals of East Dallas, Best Little Hair House of East Dallas, Lake Effect Salon of Dallas City, Rosa's Lookout Inn of Spruce, Odawa Casino of Petoskey, Massage Therapy by Deborah in Dallas City, Salty Joe's of East Dallas, Village Chocolatier in East Dallas, Infusion Jewelry and Fashion Boutique of East Dallas. Register now at WKJC.com and listen to the Kevin Allen Morning Show at 9:15 a.m. on Thursday, May 6th to see if your mom wins this mom-tastic prize package. See full prize package rules and further details at WKJC.com. Celebrate your mom this Mother's Day by nominating her for the WKJC Marvelous Mom Prize Package at WKJC.com.
Up. 11:30 on the Sunrise Side, we dive into kind of our biggest story that we're going to be talking about today, as recently the NHL trade deadline went by and the Wings sold off again. Another year of them selling off players, which is what you do when you're in a rebuild. I'm not complaining about this. The Detroit Pistons are coming off of a draft where they really got younger. They no longer have Blake Griffin. They're really depending on their young players. Of course, the Tigers are in a full-on rebuild as they finally have gotten some of their top prospects up into the major leagues in Casey Mize and Tarek Skubal. And the Lions hold the number 7 pick in the NFL draft in a little bit less than 2 weeks, which, by the way, next week we will talk at length about the NFL draft. So at any point here, feel free to call in 362-3417 and give me your opinions on kind of our topic today, which is which of these teams has the best chance to be successful in the next, let's say, 5 years. 362-3417, shoot me a text, shoot me a call, we can do either one. So I will kind of go through each individual team in the order that I think this is going to be. I think the team that has the least chance of succeeding in the next 5 years is the Detroit Lions. The one thing that they were going to have that gives the Lions a chance to win most or any game was Matthew Stafford, and that obviously isn't the case anymore after trading him for a couple of first-round picks and Jared Goff. I like Jared Goff. Guy's been to a Super Bowl. He's only 26. He's a decent quarterback. But he's not going to win games on his own the way Matthew Stafford could. And now you're going through, I mean, a complete rebuild. You don't bring in a new GM and a new coach with no history of winning unless you plan on tearing it all down and restarting. Now, I'm just going to enjoy the ride. I'm going to restart. It didn't, you know, the first rebuild didn't work. The second rebuild with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, the trying to bring the Patriot way to Detroit, didn't work. So now, it seems we're trying a little bit of a different way. Which, you know what, I'm up for anything to try and get a winner at Ford Field in Detroit. I think they do have the worst chance, though, of the four teams because they are just starting their rebuild. So in the next 5 years, I don't think that they will be there. Now, things could change. A quarterback can change everything. But Jared Goff is being paid a lot of money for the next, I believe it's 3 years. So you can't plan for a new quarterback in Detroit really for the next 3 years, whether they draft one 2 weeks from now or not. It's going to be a long way back for the Detroit Lions. This draft that they have upcoming is very important with the number 7 pick. But there's already been reports of them expressing interest in trading down to acquire more picks. Now, what that does, what that tells you is that they feel that they need more than just one player at the number seven pick to be able to be successful. That tells you that they think, and rightfully so, that the Lions are not very talented and they need to bring in a lot of talent. So you trade down from number seven, you try and get into that middle first round, and you try and gain some future first rounders and a couple of picks later on in this upcoming draft too. I think that's a smart way to handle things. Now, it hasn't happened yet, and there's no one saying that it's guaranteed they're going to trade down. But I think that's a smart thing to do when you think about the way that this team is built. They don't have their quarterback set up for the next few years. They have Jared Goff, but even I think he's just a stopgap. And then they don't really have a player or two that you can look at and say, that's the future of the team. They don't have anybody. Nobody who you can say, that's going to be a guy they're going to build around for years. We don't have that yet. So, I'm not pessimistic on the Lions. I just think that this is not the time for them to succeed in the next 5 years, which is the way this is working. Again, your opinions, 362-3417. Shoot me and text me, call either one. Number three on my list are the Tigers. In the next 5 years, I'm not sure where they will be. But I'm a little afraid of where they're at right now and where they're going to be. I mean, like I said, possibly 5 years from now. Now, again, I'm optimistic on the Tigers. I think that they have a bunch of good young prospects coming up. But the ones that we have had come up outside of Casey Mize and Tarek Skubal have not worked. Bo Burrows and Kyle Funkhauser have not developed. Jake Rogers, the catcher, has not developed. All these guys who the Tigers acquired, it has not worked out well at all. You look at a couple of the big trades the Tigers made when they started to rebuild. I think the two biggest names that you look at are J.D. Martinez and Justin Verlander. Those are the two biggest names that the Tigers traded. And the Tigers have essentially nobody from the J.D. Martinez trade left. Dabo Lugo is now playing in Mexico after he could not find a team to play with in Major League Baseball. And he was the centerpiece of that trade of J.D. Martinez. Then you look at the Justin Verlander trade. Now, hindsight is 20/20. You look at the Justin Verlander trade on the day that it happened. I was very happy with the haul they got back. Jake Rogers was a great up-and-coming catcher who is already a Major League defensive catcher, and he still is, but his bat just needed to develop, which it hasn't. Daz Cameron comes from, his father played in the Major Leagues for a long time. He's a good athletic center fielder who just hasn't quite made it yet. Franklin Perez was an 18-year-old pitcher who just can't seem to stay healthy. And the Tigers are going to actually have to start making a decision on him relatively soon. So a lot of these names haven't worked out. Now, it looks like Casey Mize and Tarek Skubal are really good. And it looks like the couple of young hitters, Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, are really good. But you got to be a little cautious when it comes to Major League Baseball because, well, it's essentially an individual sport. It's a team sport, but it requires individuals to succeed because only one guy is hitting at a time. Pitching's more of a two-man game with the pitcher and the catcher, but still, the pitcher is only one man up there. And so, yeah, there's a couple of good young players coming, but the Tigers are not quite as optimistic on for the next 5 years, which is sad because they've been rebuilding since what seems like 2015. Number two on my list are the Detroit Red Wings. I don't watch a whole lot of hockey, but I trust what Steve Yzerman's been doing. He's been great as the GM. He made the best trade of the trade deadline in the National Hockey League. That's important. If you make the best trade in the sport, something's going well for you. His trade of Anthony Mantha to the Capitals was renowned throughout the sport of hockey for how good it was, for how much he swindled, fleeced, whatever word you want to use, the Capitals. So, you got to have some positive outlook. When the most recent thing that you've done as a franchise is
make the best trade in the sport, I'll be pretty happy about it. The Red Wings have a core guy to build around in Dylan Larkin. You have Steve Yzerman, who seems like he's a great GM. And of course, all-time great wing, Steve Yzerman. So, and you also don't need, the reason I have this flipped with the Tigers, is the Tigers, you got to have 26 guys that all work out. Hockey, you need more than just what's on the ice, but you can work with a good 8, 9, 10 guys that are good. So it doesn't take quite as many guys to work, and the Wings have a ton of picks in the next drafts, so it'll work. And my number one team, the team that I expect has the best chance to be at least successful in the next 5 years of the Pistons. With the new GM, the Pistons have proven in the last year that they knew what they were doing. After trading away Luke Kennard, which was not a fan favorite, they brought in Sadiq Bey out of that trade, who now is better than Luke Kennard. Already. He's already better than Luke Kennard. Isaiah Stewart. Everybody was like, why are you drafting a 6'8" center when most centers are 6'10", 6'11"? He's just coming off a game earlier this week where he had nearly a triple-double, plus a couple of blocks and a couple of steals. Things are working out. Killian Hayes, the 18-year-old out of France, seems like that he's going to be a star to build around. They did a smart job of making sure they didn't push him with his hip injury. So, out of one draft, it seems like they have something that they can build around to at least be successful in the next 5 years. Now, another thing that helps is the Pistons play in the weakest conference in sports. The Eastern Conference of the NBA is the weakest conference in sports. In no sport is there a more lopsided difference in conference than there is in the NBA. The Western Conference is far and away better, as it usually is, than the Eastern Conference. There's some good teams in the Eastern Conference, but the Western Conference is far and away better. So that helps. The Pistons don't have to do as much to be successful. Now, winning a championship, that's a little bit more difficult. If I were to say, which team do I expect to win a championship out of these in the next 5 years out of these four teams, I would not put the Pistons at number one, but I do expect them to be the most successful in the next 5 years. I think that there can be a difference there. Team that's going to consistently make the playoffs, that's going to be them. Team that is most consistently going to be in the news, that could be them. Team that's most likely to win a championship in the next 5 years, I'm not sure, because I don't think any of these teams will win a championship in the next 5 years. You have to be near the end of your rebuild to be talking about winning a championship in the next 5 years. That's not going to happen. You extend it out to 10 years, I could see the Tigers, I could see the Wings. I'm not sure the Pistons would be at the top of that list. Winning an NBA championship without a superstar, without LeBron James, without Giannis Antetokounmpo, without Luka Doncic, it's going to be hard in the next 10 years to win without that, and Detroit doesn't recruit superstars. So, but I do think the Pistons can be really, really good. And I'm happy with sustained success, even without winning a championship. A lot of people aren't. I am. I'm happy with sustained success without winning a championship. That's fine with me. So, we'll see what happens with these next few teams. How do you feel about my list? So, my teams in Detroit, of the four major sports, the teams that I expect to be most successful in the next 5 years. Least successful, the Lions. Third, least successful, the Tigers, just because they have so much work to do. Second, the Wings. And number one, the team I expect to be most successful in the next 5 years are the Detroit Pistons. You can text me your list, 362-3417. Give me a call, 362-3417 as well. Real quick, when we come back, we will take a little bit of a look at the Detroit Lions draft and what type of things I'd like to see them go with before we dive in next week to a little bit more specifics of players. You're listening to the Sunday Sideline Show. We're brought to you every week by Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas, Kevin Hummerick House, and Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac in East Dallas, in Northeastern Window and Door, Ferrisville, and Alpena.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac in Easttown wants you to get the best deal on a vehicle. And right now, stop in and ask Kevin how to get 15% off MSRP on a new 2021 Chevrolet Equinox or 17% off the new 2021 Chevy Trax. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Plus, see the entire inventory at DeanArborChevy.com. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac on US 23 in Easttown or call 492-1788. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Take the wheel and let's go for a spin. Every Friday and Saturday in April at Saginaw Eagles Landing, our prize wheel is loaded with big-time winning, like premium play, complimentary meals and hotel stays, and bonus entries into the grand prize drawing on April 30th for a new Ford Mustang. So get ready and let's go for a spin. Only at Saginaw Eagles Landing Casino and Hotel. Let your fun out. Visit Saginaw-EaglesLanding.com for complete rules and details.
Hey! 11:44 in the sunrise sign. Brant Allen here with you with the Sunday sideline. So next week we start, or 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks from now. It's 2 weeks from this past Thursday. We start the NFL draft. The Lions have the number seven pick. They have the seventh pick, the number seven pick. And it really is in a weird spot for them because they aren't going to draft a quarterback more than likely, which is typically when you're drafting that high, that's quite a bit of what you're looking for is a quarterback. And there really isn't kind of that stud player at a key position that's worthy of a number seven draft pick. Personally, I don't believe in drafting wide receivers in the top 10. There's a lot of, if you read up on mock drafts, there's a lot of them that had the Lions drafting a wide receiver in the top 10. I don't believe in that. I just don't think it's necessary unless there is just an absolute can't-miss prospect. But if you look at the Lions' best receiver for the last 5 years, it's been Kenny Golladay, who is a third-round pick out of Northern Illinois University. Wide receivers are everywhere. Now, the Lions drafted Calvin Johnson third overall back when they drafted him. That makes sense. He was a freak of nature. If the freak of nature is there, you do it. I don't find that there. Ja'Marr Chase is really, really good. But I don't think he's worthy of a top 10 draft pick. So I would avoid quarterback. I would avoid wide receiver. You never draft running backs in the top 10. There's no one good enough anyway. So where does that leave you? The Lions actually have a halfway decent offensive line. Both of their... They have two Pro Bowl offensive linemen, Taylor Decker, and possibly the best center of the last couple of years, Frank Ragnow. So, offensive line's not a huge need, but defense is. There's not a single stud defensive player on the Detroit Lions. They took Jeff Okuda with the number 3 overall pick last year, the corner, but he really didn't have a great year. Now, he was playing under Matt Patricia in a horrible system. So let's see this year, in a more simple system, if they allow him to be a little bit more of just a ball hawk and go and do your thing. I'd like to see that, and I think Okuda has a better year. I'm not giving up on Jeffrey Okuda. But there's one guy I'm happy with the Lions taking if they do not trade out of the seventh pick, and that's Micah Parsons, who's a linebacker out of Penn State. If you're not going to trade down, you have to take somebody on defense. I feel like that's the only possible thing. Now, if they end up taking an offensive lineman, I'm fine with that. I will never, ever, ever complain about any team ever taking an offensive lineman. They're the most important unit on the field. The most important unit on the field is the offensive line. 100% when it comes to football. They're the most important thing. If your offensive line is bad... Take a look at the Super Bowl this past year. The Kansas City Chiefs were more talented. The Kansas City Chiefs had the best quarterback in football. And they didn't have a prayer because their offensive line ruined them. They didn't have a good offensive line, and they ran into a Tampa Bay team that had a great defensive line. And they never had a chance. Offensive line is extremely important. And now, if the Lions decide that they're going to draft, let's say, a Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater, Penei Sewell out of Oregon, Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern University, then I'm fine with it. I can live with that. I can live with a building block position. What I can't live with is a wide receiver. I can't do it. I can't live with a wide receiver at the number seven pick unless it's a no doubt this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. Then all right. But that's not the case in this draft. So I would like to see the Lions trade down, acquire multiple picks, and then you can take some wide receivers and you can take, you know, whatever it is that you feel like the team needs. But building block positions is what I always believe in when it comes to early first round picks. You got to take guys who are going to make a difference, whether it be, you know, a name guy or not. The offensive line, you don't typically get a whole lot of name recognition. There's a lot of, you know, my fiance Natalie, she's not a big sports fan. She can name probably a good 10 quarterbacks. She can name a couple of other players. I think I could give her 24 hours and she wouldn't come up with a name of an offensive lineman. That's not a great position for media coverage. Not something you're going to hear about a lot. You're not going to come up with an offensive lineman. But it's an extremely important position because when it's bad, that's when you notice. Those of you who watch the Lions, when the offensive line is bad, you notice. When the offensive line is good, we don't talk about it. We don't even mention the offensive line when it's good. It's like a baseball umpire. No one talks about a baseball umpire when they're doing everything right. They only talk about them when they're doing something wrong. Same thing with offensive lines. It's one of those thankless jobs in sports where you only get recognized when you're doing something wrong because there is no stat, really, for offensive line. The stats are sacks allowed or your rushing yards, which they give to a running back. But they can tell when you've gotten beat 15 times in a game. That's when people know that. So if you build on building blocks, I'm happy with the Lions. If you decide to build through defense, I'm happy with that too. But anything outside of that, it's not going to work. Take one more break. We come back. We'll do our final word. My final word today, I talked about a little bit earlier on, based on spring sports. It is the least covered set of sports. And I'll talk about a little bit of my thoughts on it when we come back. As you're listening to the Sunday Sideline Show on 104.7 WKJC, brought to you in part by Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena, Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas, and Kevin Hummer House at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac on US 23 in East Dallas.
We're Northeastern Window.
Road construction has started on US 23 in front of our Harrisville store. Our store will remain fully accessible during the duration of the project. US 23 will be closed to through traffic only. Local traffic will be maintained and includes customers accessing our store. Please watch for signs posted by MDOT. Our Harrisville store hours are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 4, and Sunday, 9 to 1. Northeastern Window and Door is your local source for all your lumber, roofing, siding, hardware, and rental needs. Contractors and homeowners welcome.
If you're looking for just the right piece of silver jewelry for yourself or a special gift, visit Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas. Blue Bear Jewelry has the largest selection of silver jewelry in Northeast Michigan, and they carry Michigan State and University of Michigan jewelry, too. Plus, red and white and blue and white beads and jewelry so you can show off your local sports pride. Blue Bear Jewelry, open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5 on the first block of Newman Street in downtown East Dallas. Treat yourself. You deserve it.
Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac in East Dallas wants you to get the best deal on a vehicle. And right now, stop in and ask Kevin how to get 15% off MSRP on a new 2021 Chevrolet Equinox or 17% off the new 2021 Chevy Trax. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Plus, see the entire inventory at DeanArborChevy.com. Stop in and see Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac on US 23 in East Dallas or call 492-1788. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Northeast Michigan weather.
The Carroll Broadcasting Weather Center forecast. Today, mostly sunny skies, high near 55 degrees. A northwest wind around 5 miles an hour. Mostly clear skies tonight, the low near 35 degrees. East wind around 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow, Monday, partly sunny skies, high near 54 degrees. Southwest wind, 10 to 15 miles an hour. And that's the Carroll Broadcasting Weather Center forecast.
The Sunday Sidelines features my opinions and my opinions only. Any opinion I bring is truly my own, does not reflect Carroll Broadcasting or our sponsors, both in the Sunday Sidelines and otherwise at all. That does not necessarily reflect all they may share it, but if you disagree with it, it is truly my own, does not factor into Carroll Broadcasting at all. So my final word today is about spring sports. I mentioned earlier, spring sports was my home. I play a decent amount of golf, and baseball was my sport in high school. That was the sport I cared about the most. Sport I was thinking about year-round. But it's also the sport that features zero spectators quite a bit. There were a decent amount of games that I played in where there was zero spectators that were not parents. It happened a decent amount of times where zero spectators were not parents or grandparents or, you know, whatever it may be, but not family members. Community involvement in spring sports is not nearly what it is for football or basketball. Now, I understand the appeal of both of those sports. They're much more exciting. They're much more, they're up pace. They can be a whole lot better for the spectator. They're in, you know, football, Friday Night Lights is just almost an American thing. Basketball's indoors during the winter. It makes sense. You know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday in May, sometimes you're not really looking to go and watch high school baseball. I understand, or high school softball, or spring, or girls' soccer, whatever it may be. But just as much as there is with basketball and football, where I talk about the talent, the same thing that there is with all those other sports. The kind of one of the most games that sticks out in my mind the most as a memory when it comes to my baseball career was when our school hosted districts. And it was on a school day. And our school let out early so that people could go and watch the game. There has never been an electricity around a baseball game in my mind more than there was on that day. Now, we lost in the game that we played that day. But it's still one of the more fond memories I have of playing baseball, of having actual noise around, having a crowd around. For those of you who went to basketball games this year, you know that the crowd factors into a game greatly when it comes to basketball. The crowd is important. Every spectator who goes to a game knows how important it is their job to be loud, to make noise. It's an important job. And when it comes to spring sports, that can be the case too. Now, again, I understand that 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is when baseball games and softball games start, isn't always best. But there are double headers. You're going to catch that second game at about 5:30, if you'd like to as well. Because double headers in baseball and softball. You're going to play two games that day. So I think that let's make sure, and I think it's great, and you know, we're going to cover on this show as much of spring sports as we can. I can't always get out to watch games, get out and watch spring sports, but I will bring you the people that do. I will be bringing you Ben Murphy, who gets out every week and is watching games and creating fantastic stories about them. I'll bring you that. I'm going to do everything I can to bring on coaches to bring you the spring sports coverage the same way that we would bring you fall and winter sports coverage. It's not covered as much by the media. You're not going to see as many lists of, you know, the top 10 state, you know, finals possible teams in the Bay City. You're not going to see all of those that you would usually see. Even outside of, really outside of the teams that have a legit chance to play. I never played on great teams in high school. We were always solid. We lost the district final my senior year. We were in a district final. And we lost by, I think, one or two runs in that game. But it's a situation where
when people were around, it made such a big difference. When there was a crowd around, when there was some noise there around. So I understand it's not as easy to cover or not as easy to get out and support spring sports. But my plea to you, my final word today, is to get out and do it. It is easily the least attended season. There's no doubt about it, spring sports. But every athlete is putting in just as much work as they do in any other sport. And again, like I mentioned, there's a lot of spring sport athletes that's the only sport they play. Most of my teammates, I would say in high school, it was the only sport they played. That they didn't play basketball, they didn't run track, they didn't wrestle, they didn't play football. A decent amount, that was the only thing they were playing. And so this is the one opportunity you would have to see these students play. And I urge you to get out and get that opportunity. It's going to be great. If you get that chance on a sunny Wednesday afternoon, I can't think of anything better to do at 4 o'clock than go watch some fantastic high school baseball and softball. They're typically played very near to each other, where you can watch both at pretty much one time. It's a great atmosphere. Another thing that sticks out to me was playing was where I played in Oscoda, the baseball and softball fields pretty much meet up right next to each other. And one thing that's awesome is that softball typically has chants and cheers and stuff. And hearing that while you're playing, it just adds to the ambiance. It's all great stuff. You should go see it. Sunday afternoon in the 80s with Kevin Allen coming up next. We also have NASCAR racing at 2 o'clock today. The Sunday Sidelines has been brought to you by Northeastern Window and Door of Harrisville and Alpena Blue Bear Jewelry in downtown East Dallas and Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac on US 23. In East Dallas, Kevin Hummerkaus at Dean Arbor Chevrolet Cadillac. We'll talk Lions draft coming up next week, too.
Broadcasting from the shores of Tallis Bay, you're listening to the big one, 50,000 watts, WKJC-FM, Tallis City, East Tallis, a Carroll Broadcasting Station.
From ABC News.